Freedom of the press, it's right there in the First Amendment of the Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. A new documentary called Endangered suggests that pretty much everything named in that amendment is under attack, not just here, but in other democracies around the world. Throughout the film, we hear from journalists, writers, photographers who work diligently to expose lies while dealing with intimidation tactics and threats of violence. A review in Variety says of the film, quote, Endangered views so much open antagonism towards accurate reportage as a dire sign of decreasing institutional accountability in general. Let's listen to a clip. This starts with a group phone call from the Committee to Protect Journalists, and journalists are sharing the threats their colleagues are facing in their respective countries.
Good morning, everybody. Let's get started.
We have an update from Mexico.
Yes, good morning. Ongoing protests against police violence in Mexico. The local police are using very, very severe terror on journalists in order to block any kind of information getting out there that might affect them. A photographer was murdered brutally here in Mexico. We still don't know why. The investigation was never done properly. And that would be the third incident in the past 4 weeks.
Well, look, I think we're at a critical moment.
Are we talking to the people on the ground there?
Yes, it's a very serious situation. And as a result, you know, there are entire areas basically turning into silent zones where traditional newspapers are stopping their publications altogether. That is a very bad sign.
But this is happening, you know, widespread also.
Endangered is an official selection for the 2022 Tribeca Festival and premieres on HBO Max tomorrow. Joining us are the film's executive producers, investigative reporter and author Ronan Farrow. Hi, Ronan.
Hi, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Also joining us is executive producer and co-director Heidi Ewing. Heidi, welcome back to the show.
Nice to see you again.
So, Robin, this is a subject with which you have firsthand experience while you're reporting out the Weinstein stories. Anybody who listened to Catch or Kill or watched or read, people were clearly sent to intimidate you and to follow you. From that experience, what from that experience informed your decision to EP this show and your contributions to the film?
Look, I think any journalist, especially those of us who do somewhat confronting work, is familiar with the landscape so many of our peers deal with out there, which is one of obstacles and dangers. And in some parts of the world, that's, you know, mostly legal threats, economic threats, right? We're at a time when newsrooms are closing everywhere. And often if you want to do important work, it's hard to find resources and backing for it. And in other parts of the world, it's a threat of mortal danger. It's you might, if you're doing accountability reporting in Pakistan, in Russia, wind up dead. And so, yes, I've had some experiences, worse than those of some, not as bad as those of others. And it felt absolutely crucial to me to humanize that issue in any way I could. And so I got to talking about this idea of, could we do an urgent piece of reporting on reporting, you know, following some of the people doing that work in different parts of the world. And once I connected with Heidi and Rachel and found that they shared a passion, these are, you know, our filmmakers here, it clicked together that the way to do that was to look at democracies where pretty recently you wouldn't have quite this degree of threat. And you see in the film that these characters in these places where you wouldn't expect it are facing that. They're facing misinformation warfare and personal smears and legal threats and, yes, physical danger in some of the settings we follow them through.
Heidi, journalists traditionally do not like to be the story. So what were the conversations like with these journalists and what were some of the ground rules?
Yeah, journalists, the last thing they wanted to ever do is go in front of our camera. They were all very, very reluctant and reticent to be the story. Documentary filmmaking is journalistic. You know, we have a lot of crossover, and we really understand not to get in people's way. And we sort of, it was a conversation that we had. And, you know, there's so many threats to their profession that are on the rise. I think they all agreed that it would do a lot more good than harm to appear in this film. And so they, you know, reluctantly allowed us to follow them for a period of a year. And the ground rules were really basically, we needed to stay back, step back, get out of their way, and so not to interrupt their process, their sources, their conversations. So really it was a lot of long lenses and a lot of just sort of, you know, waiting and just being very, very respectful. Of course, we started filming March 3rd. We were in Brazil at the time, and COVID, of course, you know, interrupted everyone in production, you know, 2 weeks later. So all of our journalists that we were following had to sort of redirect their energies for their publications towards COVID. So every single one of them was sort of out on the street, really risking their skin to bring the story and sort of also, you know, hold the power to account, the powerful to account, really in Brazil, United States, and Mexico, all the countries that we cover, there was a sort of a lot of, you know, bad behavior on the part of the leadership when it came to COVID information. Mm-hmm. And so really the story took a very interesting turn when COVID sort of erupted, and we were able to include sort of that conflict between leadership and the media that was extremely high during COVID. So that's also in the film.
We're talking about the film Endangered. It premieres on HBO Max tomorrow. I'm speaking with executive producer Ronan Farrow and executive producer and co-director Heidi Ewing. So Ronan, let's talk about Patricia Campos Melo. She's a reporter for the newspaper of record in Brazil. What does her story reveal about the state of journalism in Brazil under Bolsonaro? She is under personal attack. We're going to play a clip in a little bit, but very personal attack that things are said about her on the internet. Rumors are spread about her. What does that say about journalism under Bolsonaro?
Well, Patricia is an incredible reporter, and she goes through hell in the course of the events we document in this film. And I drew a lot of strength from her story. I think it reveals a lot. It reveals a lot about the political trend lines that are set against accountability journalism. You know, she is reporting on Bolsonaro, and at a time when there's a flood of authoritarian rhetoric that suggests the press are the enemy of the people, and that demonizes her specifically. So one thing is, you know, this is close to home. This is the Trump era. This is an old tactic, that trying to demonize the press to prevent accountability from happening. And it's got new life now in Brazil and right here at home. So obviously there's a lot to relate to and learn from that facet of it. The other component of her story is, of course, systemic misogyny. Mm-hmm. You know, she gets smeared in the form of pornographic deepfakes, in the form of a spurious rumor that she, you know, seduced a source or offered sexual favors in the course of her reporting, all of which is, you know, completely apocryphal and ridiculous, but which finds life in an atmosphere where those authoritarian arguments collide with sexism and commingle in a really toxic way. And, you know, she also, in the course of the film, deals with legal threats. And, you know, she surmounts some of those and triumphs in court. There's an arc to that. But that's painful and scary. And, you know, I've had the experience of looking at my phone and seeing the threat come in and feeling that sort of flood of cortisol. And am I going to be destroyed by this shakedown attempt? Am I going to be destroyed by this, you know, effort to smear? You know, all from targets of reporting that are unhappy, and it's very transparent what's happening, and I think would be to any observer. I certainly feel that when I watch her experience. But when you're in it, it's scary. And so the conversations I had with her while we were making this film. You know, I also have in common that I look online, and when I'm in the midst of a contentious story, I see the flood of hate and, you know, memes, and for me it's deeply personal stuff, and sure. Sometimes even stuff about sexuality, personal life, mm-hmm. That all comes in, and I can't speak to the experience of the extra layer of being a woman in that and having the misogyny, but I get a lot of below the belt stuff. So we're doing a series of side conversations that will be on HBO Max between me and some of the subjects of the film, mm-hmm. And some other people around the field of journalism who have dealt with different kinds of threats. And that's a chance to kind of go a little more personal and have a conversation processing the events in the film. And the conversation with Patricia is very, you know, personal and painful, and something that I got a lot out of and was inspired by, because when I see that I'm not alone in facing those kinds of dynamics, and I see the strength she shows in getting through that, I ultimately have to see this entire piece, though it is a painful examination of how bad things have gotten, as a hopeful statement of how people persevere. She certainly does.
Let's take this in, Allison. We interviewed over 100 journalists when we were in the quote-unquote casting process for Endangered, and I have to tell you, Patricia is not an outlier when it comes to the kind of attack she's received for her work. At least 11 other women that we spoke to in the course of casting this film told us about the sexualization of their work, accusations of trading sex, mm-hmm. for stories, threats of rape and all these horrible things. It was almost commonplace for any female journalist of note who spoke to us that she at least one or two times had received this sort of vile reaction to her work. So that was extremely troubling to us.
Let's hear Patricia Campos-Melo in her own words. This is from the film Endangered.
2 years ago, I covered President Bolsonaro's illegal attempt to influence the election. But since he became president, he has started to attack specific journalists and specific media outlets. So for half the Brazilian population, I am a whore who trades sex for information.
Olha a jornalista da Folha de São Paulo, tem mais ouvido dela aí. Ela queria um furo. Ela queria dar um furo. A qualquer preço contra mim.
That's the president of a country saying that a journalist wanted to give her whole in exchange for information against him. And it's part of the strategy to discredit journalists, and especially women.
Heidi, there's this incredibly poignant moment when Patricia's son says, "Oh, Mom, yeah, I went online. I looked you up, Mom." And he's a kid, but he's an aware kid. He's a smart kid. And her eyes get huge. She already has this expressive face, but her eyes get huge. And you can kind of see the flash of terror of, what has my son just seen about me online? When was the decision made to include family members, and why?
Well, it was obviously, it's very, we do character driven stories. And I think it was really important for us to humanize each and every one of these individuals. I think right now the world is used to referring to the press as the media, and it's just this sort of one monolith, and we have sort of dehumanized these individuals in many ways. And so for us, it was extremely important to include the husbands, the wives, the children, the dogs, and sort of really bring in stark relief these people, these men and women, sort of into a real accessible mode. And so obviously it was sensitive, and we had to have that conversation. We were given incredible access into the homes. And this is during high COVID, so our crews were very potting up with our characters. And it became a very intimate experience, actually, in making the film. And I feel really, really fortunate. But yes, we really just wanted to humanize as much as possible these members of the press.
Ronan, there's sort of this rad young photographer in Mexico City. She is both naive and brave at the same time. And she really sort of has an evolution over the course of the film. How do we see her change?
You know, she is one of the people where we see her go through threats of physical violence. You know, there's tear gas, there's being in crowds where people are being beaten up. And, you know, she's another one where you kind of see, rather than a resigned quality coming over her, as she goes through these escalating threats, she gets more and more determined. You know, she goes after tough stories. She kind of infiltrates a group of women's activists there. And we see her conversations with those people and see her sort of go deeper into the roots of the conflict that she's wading through. So she's another one where I see her experience, and especially in moments where I have sometimes felt resigned or weary in the work, at the moments where it feels like it's wall-to-wall incoming. You know, I have felt that seeing these stories and hers, you know, that's one of the notable ones, kind of galvanizes me. It gets me back into it. And I hope for everyone out there who kind of, maybe you just feel weary as a consumer of the news cycle. Mm-hmm. You look at that story, including the Mexico piece of what we documented here, and you have the same reaction. Like, no, we got to stay in it, and we got to fight for the free press, and we've got to fight for accountability in this country and beyond.
We're talking about Endangered. It premieres tomorrow on HBO Max. I'm speaking with executive producer Ronan Farrow and executive producer and co-director Heidi Ewing. So, of course, we get to the United States, Heidi, and we hang out with Olivia and Carl. Their beats are covering the political moments and the movements in the United States, especially around 2020, so it was incredibly fertile. Heidi, what is something that us seeing them at work really shows us about what's going on that you really, really can't be explained without seeing it?
I mean, the daily encounters that Carl and Oliver have, just sort of our fly-on-the-wall camera, the kind of hostility they were receiving every single day just by asking, hello, may I interview you, or may I take your mm-hmm. photograph, or tell me why you're here. I mean, the most inane, innocuous questions. Of course, Oliver was covering, you know, the reelection campaign of Donald Trump. So he was often at Trump rallies. And you could really, really feel the, not only the mistrust, but the deep hostility and anger against him just for being a reporter. And he works, of course, at The Guardian, which is not highly read in the United States among many people. So even not being familiar with his publication, there was suspicion, there were insults. And it just, it really, you could see a man being worn down over and over. And of course, during the course of our filming, the George Floyd protests jumped off, and Carl was, he's a black man. He works for the Miami Herald. He's a Haitian American. And he was sort of thrust into the middle of covering these events. And he also received, you know, everyone was giving him the finger and screaming at him fake news. And this man is literally just there to take a photograph for the Miami Herald. So just their existence, the existence of these reporters seemed to chafe. People seemed to chafe against it over and over. That was extremely shocking to me. And it's something I think you have to see to believe.
Let's take a listen to a clip from Endangered of Carl, the photojournalist who's been in the game for a while. He's a veteran for sure. Take a listen.
I am at the twilight of my career. I've been very blessed to being an asset to the Fourth Estate. But the mantle has been passed on these younger journalists, and that gives me encouragement.
It was interesting, Ronan, to hear him talk about the Fourth Estate, sort of the traditional media, because some people talk about the Fifth Estate being non-traditional media, online media, bloggers, for better or for worse. You know, it can sometimes seem like a funhouse version of journalism online. Sometimes the image is the same. Sometimes it's warped. Where do we see some members of the Fifth Estate are problematic for the Fourth Estate?
Yeah, I mean, you see for sure some good things come out of social media, right? In mm-hmm. terms of accountability on the ground, fact-finding, you can get real-time reports from parts of the world where sometimes you might not have traditional journalism. But at the same time, I think what we've overwhelmingly found is social media is a toxic place, right? And it's a place where the kinds of dynamics we're looking at in this film, including the threats to the physical safety of journalists, including the sexist attacks on journalists, all of that flourishes on social media and is really given life there. So, you know, I am inclined to think that at this moment, we need more than ever to have the Fourth Estate as a counterbalance to what's happening in the Fifth Estate. You know, I've done a lot of reporting on the January 6th riots and talked to a lot of those protesters, some of whom I identified and, you know, documented their crimes. And what's interesting is how much what you're calling the Fifth Estate, how much the social media landscape fueled the rage that led to those people committing those crimes. And that's something that we should all be worried about. That's destabilizing democracies. And I do think a meaningful counterbalance to that can be that towns across America have legitimate news sources, that we rebuild some trust in journalism. I'm not saying that the Fourth Estate is perfect. You know, critiques of the Fourth Estate are valid. I've done reporting on problems at media institutions. This film is very deliberately not a sort of simplistic, rah-rah, heroic portrait of the free press. What it does show is that, warts and all, we need it. And there really is a meaningful portion of the free press that should be trusted. And I do think that the Fifth Estate, as you call it, has contributed to a fracturing of that trust.
Heidi, I thought it was interesting that Carl said he felt hopeful because he's a second-gen journalist, as is Patrizia, is a second-gen journalist. After this film, how are you feeling about the next gen of journalists?
I hope we can use this film to lure, seduce, and attract the next generation to become journalists. We have a fantasy of creating Reporter Corps, where young, maybe citizen journalists can get some actual training in the who, what, when, where, why, and some of the rules, and actually be able to take on a real platform long-term in the press. We hope this, I have no illusion that this is going to change the minds of those who already despise the press, but we would like people who believe in the press to get off the sidelines and become galvanized and also understand that the crux of a democracy is a free press. We haven't had to think about it so much in the United States. People talk about press freedoms in most other countries as something that have to be preserved. We haven't had to think about it until now. And what we would like is for people to pay attention and add press freedoms onto the menu of demands we're making in order to preserve our democracy. I don't feel hopeless. I feel like we have to all try to galvanize ourselves and others to join the press because it's so incredibly essential to us, especially right now.
The name of the film is Endangered. You can check it out on HBO Max starting tomorrow. I've been speaking with filmmakers Ronan Farrow and Heidi Ewing. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.